You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
We all know how important it is to keep your eye on the money, and not just your own. Stay on top of the latest financial and market news with Yahoo Finance, a podcast that releases new episodes almost every day. You'll hear a brief overview of the biggest news in the financial world, all in 3 minutes or less, right after markets close. Check out Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts. That's Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts.
I think LinkedIn is kind of like the perfect social media platform because it's not interesting enough to be addictive. And at the same time, people have this real fear with LinkedIn because it's professional, right?
So yeah.
You can't get out of line.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Surfing Corporate, the podcast that helps you navigate tricky corporate waters. I'm Aileen Merciel.
And I'm Glenda Pakenant. And today we're talking about LinkedIn, the world's most popular professional social network with over 180 million users. It's the place to look for jobs, to seek talent, follow the companies you're into, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But since this is Surfing Corporate, we're going to look at it from a slightly different angle. In today's competitive global market, it's expected that you have a presence on LinkedIn. Many see this platform as an opportunity to showcase your best professional persona, to create a strong personal brand,
to let people know just how intellectual you are by reposting articles by, you know, the Harvard Business Review and the New York Times.
And liking every single thing that Adam Grant posts. That's a must.
I'm guilty of that.
I know you are. But as we all know, it's a platform to share that you're better than everyone else and that you went to an Ivy League college or that you graduated triple summa cum laude from an amazing business program and that you happen to be connected to very powerful and influential people.
Some say that LinkedIn has become the Instagram of business, where people share a highly curated view of their achievements, their promotions, or their sheer excitement of joining this amazing company. Of course, there are some brands and people that actually have interesting things to say about work-related topics. There are posts that spark stimulating conversations and inspiring debates, but there's a lot of jazz hands and humble brags out there.
Yeah, I mean, many professionals feel obliged to play the LinkedIn game where you must announce your achievements to the world because, you know, that's just the way it is and you got to do it because everybody else is doing it. Or is it? Today, we're talking with Dave Smith, a highly regarded software engineering manager at Amazon who uses LinkedIn in a very non-conventional way.
But before we start our conversation with Dave, here are a few LinkedIn fun facts.
You know, we're all about the fun facts on this podcast. Let's start with, did you know that LinkedIn is 19 years old? It's the Gen Z social media platform.
Maybe that explains a lot. LinkedIn is rated as the most trusted social media platform.
And more than 95% of recruiters out there use LinkedIn regularly. And there's 61 million senior level influencers and 65 million decision makers on LinkedIn. If that's not enough to get you on there, I don't know what is.
So having said all that fascinating info, it is time to welcome our guest today, Dave Smith, also known as Big Dave. We mentioned before, he's a software engineer manager at Amazon, one of the biggest corporations in the world. And this is what you'll find if you look him up on LinkedIn.
David Smith, fitness expert, supermodel, software engineering manager, freelance health inspector.
I love those all. I have to say, I love those all. I can't wait to dig in and ask him about every single one of those titles.
David studied both psychology and electrical engineering before settling on computer science and management as a career path. He has a very particular way of navigating LinkedIn, from his non-traditional bio to posting random hilarious thoughts, commenting in unexpected ways on other people's posts, and creating one-of-a-kind job posts. I met David through last season's guest, Joel Willis. Joel was the editor-in-chief of The Dad, one of the biggest parenting media publishers in the U.S., and he actually just launched an awesome gaming platform called Channel 3. So if you're in gaming, you need to check that out. And Joel mentioned David was this awesome coworker he had from his corporate days and that he had hilarious posts on LinkedIn that could make bad days better. So clearly I started stalking David immediately And we've been in contact ever since. So without further ado, we give you Dave Smith. Welcome to Surfing Corporate, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome, Dave. Quite the intro, right? Dude, talk about a setup.
My cheeks are hurting already just from all of that. So this is going to be great. Thank you.
We haven't had a fitness expert on Surfing Corporate before, so.
Or a freelance health inspector, so I can't wait to hear what that's all about. But Dave, I mean, to dive right in, I'm fascinated by you and your background. Just tell us a little bit, just to start off with, tell us a little bit about your corporate path.
Yeah, so I've been in the industry for far too long, I guess. I guess probably since Y2K, that's the first thing that sticks in my head is like a project. And I've been all over the place. I've spent a lot of time in startups. I worked for a startup incubator and we would kick out a new company every quarter. I worked for one of the national labs and helped with some research there. I spent some time, like you said, with Joel at GE. And now I find myself in another like corporate environment with Amazon. So I like to think I've seen, you know, a lot of what there is to see out there.
And so, but it's always been on like the software side or engineering side?
Yeah. I originally started out in IT and kind of moved from more of the supporting role to the actual developing role. So that's where I am today.
Okay, cool. So now let's dive right into the nitty gritty of why we're talking to you, because you have a very particular way of using LinkedIn. Just to start off with, what's your opinion about the platform?
I guess, honestly, I'm not a big fan of social media, as a lot of people are not these days. I think there's a lot of fakeness, there's a lot of posturing, a lot of facade, and at the same time, it is something that I think is here to stay, and it's part of, you know, personal life, it's part of work life. And I've tried to get away from it in the past and, I guess been unsuccessful because it is one of the ways that you stay connected to people these days. I literally can't communicate with hundreds of people every week, in a meaningful way. So instead I do it in a non-meaningful way.
Now, let me ask you, is LinkedIn the only platform, since you don't really like social media, is that the only social media platform you regularly use?
No, I have an account on Twitter, I have an account on Facebook, but LinkedIn is really the only one I use. I think, you know, they each have their strengths and weaknesses. I think LinkedIn is kind of like the perfect social media platform because it's not interesting enough to be addictive. And at the same time... And at the same time, I mean, people have this real fear with LinkedIn because it's professional, right? So you can't get out of line. If I tweet something stupid, then I get 100, you know, stupid insults back. Whereas if I put something stupid on LinkedIn, most people just kind of ignore me out of either shame or fear.
Be associated with that.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you have a lot of... Because now LinkedIn, you can have followers. So you can have a connection with somebody because you asked them to connect with you, or you can just follow certain people. Do you have like a big follower base, or do you have a lot of connections, or do you still curate and allow only people you actually know to connect with you on LinkedIn?
I really don't care. I get a lot of connection requests. Unless it's literally something that looks sketchy, then I accept them all.
Wait, but how many David Smiths are there on LinkedIn? Like, how would somebody find you? Is that part of the reason why you want to stand out and you created like the bio that you did?
No. But I did go through and send out, what do you call it, friend request, connection request to all the other David Smiths, just to kind of like form a bond there. And some of them accepted it. There are a lot of us.
Okay, I need to point out that David not only does, you know, some sporadic, random, funny posts, but if you go to his bio on LinkedIn, this is an actual extract from that bio.
I created PowerPoint decks so large that they could neither be saved nor opened. I had one-on-ones and told people they had food between their teeth. I stopped using my car's heater and heated seats in order to strengthen my mind. I toughed it out and endured the pain. 3 years later, I had become so powerful that I could manage anything, and all my hair had fallen out.
This is one of the most epic bios I have ever read. And honestly, I don't read a lot of them anymore because you're right. You kind of like, it just becomes part of the background and noise. Yes. And it's like, yeah, whatever. But when Eileen pointed it out, I was like, there's no way this guy's real. There's no way. So I just got to say, to start off with. Was this your bio that you started out with from day one? Or was it like an evolution to get the confidence to say, you know, fuck it, I'm just going to do this and I'm going to be out there? Like, what was your approach to that?
No, so I did join LinkedIn in 2007. Initially, I was like, I think most people, just very quiet, very like, let's just fit in. I do this. It's like a resume, right?
Right.
And you limit it to that.
Right.
Yes.
I guess when I switched over, I kind of looked at my bio and said, this is just terrible. Like, it's uninteresting. It's the same as it, like, there's no point in it, right? So I don't know. I did what I do. I just sat down and wrote for a little bit and came up with something that was kind of goofy and funny and drew from some other sources and said, okay, now this is something that somebody might, you know, get a grin out of. So that's better, right?
Now, did you really create PowerPoint decks so large that they could neither be opened or saved? Like, where did you get that? Did that really happen?
I don't know if I've done it with PowerPoint. I know I've done it with Keynote, where you eventually get to a file size that just it has trouble exporting or saving or anything. Yeah, it's rooted in truth. It's rooted in truth.
Let's point out here, David has these moments of, you know, comedic glory, but he does combine this with actual info.
At Amazon Photos, I manage the teams responsible for our operations, accounts, subscriptions, data integrity, and security.
And then later he goes on to say things like, I also coordinate large-scale security campaigns across the entire organization and fill the role of perfect manager. It says project manager, but perfect manager is even better. You know what? You should change it to that. My team is my passion, creating an environment where highly skilled and intelligent individuals can collaborate with each other and leverage their strengths has allowed me to make great advancements in my space over the last 4 years. So he does have real content on there, but again, you'll stay interested because you're looking for what is he going to say. So I think that is very smart because you definitely get hooked. Whereas with, like you said, Glenda, where most of the bios you just like glaze over and, you know, you read highly skilled and knowledgeable and super amazing. And you just pass through that. You do not pass through Dave's stuff on LinkedIn. How would you define your LinkedIn editorial voice?
I guess, and I don't know, people have asked me about this before, like what is my approach or what is my brand or my plan? And I have none. I have no plan. I have no brand. I have no strategy here. It's kind of just, to be honest, it's me. Like I do take my work very seriously, and I'm proud of the things I've accomplished. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm uninteresting or that I'm, you know, trying to fit in. I mean, I'm me. I'm a little obnoxious sometimes. I like to think I have a good sense of humor. So you know, you get that. You get me.
I love that.
So was it a conscious decision you made at some point to say, because, you know, I know you said when you started out, you were, you know, a little bit more by the book, just like everybody was when we were first exploring LinkedIn. I was also like an early user of LinkedIn back in the day. I still am very by the book. You go to my LinkedIn and it's very da 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 da. But again, I don't use LinkedIn to sell myself as much as I use LinkedIn to connect with other people. I'm the kind of person that will celebrate everybody's promotions and achievements and publishings, and I will celebrate and put emojis, but that's how I like to interact.
Yeah, just a quick interjection. Glenda is a recovering suit, like corporate blood runs through her veins. She was born saying, oh, thank you for this amazing experience. I'm thrilled to join
this opportunity, family. This unbelievable opportunity. Yes.
Mock me if you will. That's just who I am. It's really, truly who I am.
But she will appreciate crazy shit, you know, from other people.
I absolutely do, which is why talking to you and finding your LinkedIn stuff is so crazy to me. Like the first few things that Eileen would send me that you would post, she's like, look at this guy. I'm like, there's no way he's for real. He's got to be a stand-up comedian. He's got to be creating this persona. There's no way that somebody who's an Amazon engineer could have this funky way of using LinkedIn and still be respected and like this badass at work. So I'm fascinated. Like, what type of response have you gotten from your colleagues or your bosses or other LinkedIn users?
HR.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, No, it's a good question. So I guess probably most interesting is that my team doesn't really use LinkedIn. They have accounts because you kind of, if you're in technology, you have one. But they don't follow me. They don't, talk to me about the things I post or like the things I post or anything like that. My team is very much business oriented, which is how I am at work too. So I guess nothing from them. My boss, every now and then, or the other managers, I'll see a comment fly across and somebody'll say, like, you gotta see what Dave just posted. And my reaction to that is always like, oh God, I'm not doing it for attention. I'm doing it just because I'm an idiot. But I think my boss is awesome. She is an amazing woman and she supports me, unbelievably. I probably do terrify her that, like, at some point I'll say something that pushes things a little too far. But she, we've never had a conversation about, like, David, I need to talk about your professionalism on social media.
But I love that. That is awesome because I think so many people are afraid that that would have serious repercussions. And maybe there are some companies where it would. I don't know. But I think that that says a lot about your boss, that she's just like, let's see what he posts today. But it hasn't been an issue because, again, like you just said, you are very serious and you're good at your job. So why would that necessarily be an issue? No? And that leads me to a question, Dave. So how different are you in your real life and your everyday behavior at work from this LinkedIn crazy Dave? Is it similar? Is it very different? Are you serious at work or will you shock everybody with a random comment in the middle of a meeting and people don't know what to do with it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm always crazy Dave. But I mean, to kind of frame that, like it's not like a NASCAR driver. You see him in the parking lot, like at the grocery store, and you're like, go get him, right? You do what's appropriate for the context you're in, right? So on LinkedIn, where I have very little respect for social media, I act one way. And when I'm at work, I'll bring humor into work as well. But it's not like I'm there to be goofy, right? I'm there to get things done.
Very, very good answer.
Aileen, why don't we talk a little bit about examples,
yes,
like solid examples of the kind of stuff that Dave's done on LinkedIn that's made us be like, okay, this guy is completely out there in terms of how he's using the platform.
Okay, I want to go to his job post because we all know what a LinkedIn job post looks like, right? So I'm going to try to explain this. It's very visual and we'll have that later on our show notes, but Dave's job pose has the image of a sort of demon that is overshadowing, a skeleton that is overshadowing another skeleton that is riding like a Harley motorcycle engulfed in flames. And it says,
we're hiring. Apply today.
It's like the Grim Reaper is chasing another skeleton, badass zombie riding thing amid flames, engulfed in flames.
It's awesome, isn't it?
It scared the shit out of me, Dave.
So there's no way you will not pause to look at this job post. And then it says, okay, if this doesn't get your attention, you're probably in a coma. That's how the job post begins. My team at Amazon Photos is hiring both a software development engineer and a software development engineer in testing, all this tech stuff that I don't understand. And then it says, here's why you might be interested. Bullet number one, dollar sign. Bullet number two, while I might act like an insane person on social media because I don't respect it, my crew is 100% smart as hell, no bullshit, helpful people. You will learn things from this team. Well, and he goes on to enunciate like all the reasons why you should work
to sell the role, which is great.
It's phenomenal. So again, this technique of, just surprising you into making a pause with all the humble brags, seeing this, and then, like, if I knew anything about this, I would have applied for that job. Just because I'd want to work for that manager.
And I did get a lot of reactions to that. I got a lot of interested people, so that worked out well.
Who did you hire? Does it look like this dude on...
I would love to hire like a Reaper, but I've never had one apply. No Draculas or anything. It's pretty normal.
You never know.
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Did HR or the head of recruitment see your ad, and what did they say?
I don't think I've ever had a conversation with HR.
Wow.
But I do have a recruiter, a couple of recruiters I work pretty closely with, and they were like, this is great. This is a great way to get attention, and we're going to get popular off of this. So yeah, supportive.
Very open-minded. I love that. I'm not sure that would be so well received in other places, but kudos to your people.
No, I agree. I mean, not everyone has an environment that's supportive enough to kind of pull off what I do, but I mean, you kind of set the stage for that. Like I nobody's going to come hire me if they want somebody who's, you know, going to fly under the radar. Right. So,
and that speaks to something really important, because you say that, you know, it's not part of a strategy or really branding, but it does speak to your brand.
Absolutely. It's implied. It's implied in the type of, you know, as far as the kind of outlook you have, the kind of irreverence you have. But because you go in and you actually sell the job. And I, like Eileen said, I have no background in that. And I was like, dude, I'd love to do that if I could. But so just taking it back a little bit, Dave, because I got to ask. I mean, it seems like everything's worked out and you get good feedback or you get no feedback, which is, I guess, a good thing considering some of the stuff you post. But has any post or comment or interaction you've ever done like backfired brilliantly, or has it not gone the way you thought at all?
I mean, to be honest, I don't really develop expectations for most of the things I post. I just come up with something, I throw it and then see what happens. And that's like 95% of what I post. There was one thing I posted. I think about this all the time because I wish it had gone differently. There was one thing I posted probably like, I don't know, 9 months, a year ago, where I just made an image. And I hate it when people put like text images together, but it was just this text image. And it said, I forget the exact wording, but it was like, engineers are people, not animals. And I laughed at that so long before I posted it, because like there's nobody out there who's saying that engineers are animals, right?
Exactly.
Like that's not a fight that needs anybody's support. But I thought, if I post this, people are going to see that and they're going to think, yeah, like you can't treat those people like animals. Those are people, and they deserve respect. And there's a ton of them on LinkedIn, right? So like I laughed for so long. I posted this thing. Nobody had any interest in it. So, I guess that's...
Or as you said, maybe they just wanted to be far away from it. Like, yeah, I'm not even going to engage with that post. Yeah, Scroll right by it.
Yep.
I'm gonna read a few other treasures from David, just so, you know, we can get a scope, a full range of the different things that he does. So he has another random post that says,
I was cleaning the toilet and my glasses fell in, so that's how my day is going.
So there's that. And I love this.
Maybe my inbox wouldn't be full if they'd stop sending me emails about how my inbox is full.
The reason why, for me, like having a person like David on LinkedIn is important is that it really is a refresher, and it's, oh, there are people that are doing this in a different way. Because to your point, yeah, it felt at the very beginning that you have to be on this platform because you're a professional, so you must be on this platform. But it's to sell yourself. And I think ever so much more, as you know, time has gone on, it's increasingly been about showcasing your skills and your awesomeness and your amazing trajectory. So when you contrast that and then you just run into posts like, you know, my glasses fell into the toilet today, it's just a moment of levity that I appreciate. I think the fact that Dave feels and says, you know, that's me. I take my job really seriously, but I can use this to spark joy, at least for me. He's Marie Kondoing LinkedIn for me, sparking joy momentaneously.
Yeah, he's like a palate cleanser, right? Among the feed.
Yes, a palate cleanser. And then he'll have stuff, you know, about work and about jobs that is interesting. He posted this, like, one of the most epic leadership videos. It's called, I think, The Power of the Eagle. And it's a leadership thing on YouTube that is the cheesiest, most, you know, recycled philosophy with this video of this eagle flying and then all these cliche leadership phrases.
It's like those posters that were really big, like in the 90s with like the flying eagle, perseverance or whatever the hell those things say.
A leader flies alone.
Yes. A leader flies alone. Oh my God. So he posts this and I'm like, oh, let me check out this fit. And when you see the video, you're just like, oh my God. And the most fascinating thing about this whole thing is that that video has millions of views and likes on LinkedIn and like all this engagement, people saying, yes, leadership is la. And I wrote to David, like, I'm doing this wrong because clearly this is the type of thing that gets super engagements. And to that point in our research about this topic, examples of things and LinkedIn is now full of LinkedIn influencers, right? And It's about getting those same types of engagements. And this post, I'm gonna read this post. This post says, you know, these kind of like little surveys. And it says, what society tells you is cool. And then the options are Chick-fil-A, Mercedes-Benz, $100,000 in debt. What's actually cool? Cooking your own meals, a used car with no payments, no limit to earnings, no debt, and doing something that makes you happy. So this post has almost 6,000 engagements and 145 comments. That piece of shit post garnered all of that interaction. So it's like,
but what were the people saying? What were the comments? You're so right. Yes, awesome. Or what? Like, really, honestly?
Likes, a ton of likes. People now make statements like, kindness is better than being mean. Oh, like, it's like, come on. And again, there are people out there and there are influencers that are posting interesting things. It's not to say that everybody on LinkedIn is, you know, a shameless scammer, but there are lots of them.
I think it's so interesting, though, because going back to how we each use LinkedIn, like, we all have different ways we use it. We all have different ways we interact with it. I just keep thinking of, like, the way you use it, Dave, and even you, Eileen, like, because of Surfing Corporate, because of what this brand is, like, the way you interact on LinkedIn is very different from somebody who might be in business consulting or accounting, you know, something much more straight-laced. I think, like, if I did the shift, what you did, Dave, one day woke up and said, you know what, this is not really meaningful. I'm going to start being more me. Because I am a recovering suit, as Eileen loves to remind us all the time. It would be very similar. Like, I don't know how I would be so different if I started posting stuff that's more me, because I am a corporate-y person. So the way I engage...
And that's okay.
Yes, that's okay.
It's okay, Glenda. It's okay to be you.
It's okay to be a corporate person. We're not all terrible.
Yeah, no, that is fine. But if that is not you...
Exactly.
And I think
that's the point I was trying to make. That's the point I was trying to make. Like, if you are corporate and that's the way you communicate and that's the way... That's your comfort zone, that's fine. That's great. We're not knocking it. It's just be more authentic, because we talk a lot about authenticity and that's such a, you know, like a buzzword. And especially now with the younger generations that are entering the workplace, they can spot inauthentic fakeness on social media. They've grown up with it, especially the Gen Zers. They can spot that shit from a mile away, which is why now something like Be Real, like we'll have another conversation about that, which I think is nuts, but whatever. They can spot it, which is why if you are using LinkedIn in a way that doesn't feel as authentic, then try to be more yourself on it. Why not? If Dave can get away with it.
but there's a big difference with Dave, you know, being authentic and just sharing funny things with other stuff that is so predominant right now. And it's, you know, a concealed effort of sharing things of your life to showcase how professional you are. For instance, you know, the people that we've mentioned this before that post something about how they found a hurt squirrel in the middle of the road and they stopped and saved the squirrel. And that shows that leadership is about caring. And it's just like, this has nothing to do with anything except you trying to get likes. So there's a difference there. That is purposely going out there to get attention in a way that's reflective on me as an awesome, good person, because I want to be known out there. It's different.
Yeah, but I think people are catching on, and people are you can smell that. You to your point about, you know, not running over the squirrel or whatever. Like today I went on LinkedIn and I was scrolling really fast. I'm like, okay, who can I celebrate today? Who got a promotion that I can congratulate? And then I saw some random post from somebody that I just connected with not too long ago. So I don't really know the person as well. You know, we met at a conference, and that's how we met. But the point is, he put something on there about like, I'm doing an ice cream social with my daughter to welcome some new kids in class, which is a nice post. But it struck me because I'm like, what is this post doing on LinkedIn? And I'm like, wait, was that the point? Was that the point of the post? That's not something that you would think somebody would share on LinkedIn. But yet here I am. I stopped and I thought about it and I give it more thought than just the passive scroll. What do you think about that, Dave? Like the way people are now using LinkedIn in other ways, maybe because they're fleeing Facebook or they're fleeing other you know, social media platforms. Do you think is that a thing that you've caught on to as well?
I think the easiest way to ruin your experience with social media, like for yourself, is to create this expectation or this investment around like the reaction that I get to what I post is a representation of the success that I have in what life or my social life or whatever. And then you become invested in selling yourself, right? Whether it's selling yourself professionally or personally or a fake you, what you do, part of the time that you spend in your day is being this facade, trying to attract attention and trying to get like, what is it? Dopamine from, you know, oh, I got another like, I got reshared. I've been exposed to that because I post stuff and people like it or share it or don't. And so I know what that's like. But I think becoming invested in what other people think of you, especially people who don't know you or will never interact with you like in real life, I think that's a great way to like shoot yourself in the foot just in terms of your everyday, I don't know, feelings and interactions and what you deem to be the measure of your own success. So I don't know if that answers it, but like I guess whenever I read something, and to your point, like I think, why did you post this? Is it to attract attention, and what kind of attention? Or is it because you're like me and you're an idiot and you don't think about what you post? Or is it, you know, what's the reason? And I think that makes a big difference as to whether you're having a positive or a negative experience in social media or on LinkedIn.
I think that definitely makes sense. As we're talking through your experience on LinkedIn and the kind of stuff that you share and the response you get from your boss and the larger organization as a whole, where they don't really bother you, that's certainly not the case in every organization. So we're not advocating for going out there and like being as irreverent without really knowing the consequences. Like, you know, what could possibly happen if you work for a very, very conservative company or a company that's really not very public facing in terms of social media to begin with. But I think it's interesting that this conversation is even happening because, as you just said, you know, if you start using social media and you start wanting to get that dopamine hit professionally,
yeah,
as long as you have a reason for, even if your reason is to be irreverent and show off a face or a side of you that you don't really get to show off in your day job, that's fine. But I do think at the end of the day, and I'm talking for myself, I do think LinkedIn is still something that's useful because for you, Dave, you have a way of using it, but you still connect with people. And at the end of the day, that's what you want out of it. You want somebody to hire and you put a job post. It's a funny one. It's a different one. It's irreverent, but you know what you're using it for. I think that if you're clear with what your intentions are, if you're clear with what you want out of it and you're authentic about it, A+ for you. Go for it. Once you start like blurring the lines and not really knowing what you're getting out of it and just starting to be a bullshitter or a faker, that's when you're like, come on, people are going to spot that from 1,000 miles away.
And Dave, is there anybody, any company account or influencer on LinkedIn that you like, that you follow, that you admire? Is there anybody else out there that that you look forward to their posts?
I guess my no. The answer is no. But my my number one LinkedIn tip, and people come to me all the time and they're like, oh, thank you for posting like interesting stuff. LinkedIn is so terrible. Just don't scroll through it. Like that's where you can scroll through LinkedIn for an infinite amount of time, right?
Yeah.
Like just don't do that. Just don't do it. And yeah, there are many legitimate uses for LinkedIn and brands need their representation and whatnot. But like in general, if you're not looking for a job or if you don't have a clearly defined goal for what you're doing, it's a waste of time.
No, and then to that point, to wasting your time, it also if you're somebody who's like hyper competitive, you're looking at, you know, whoever's new promotion and you're like, why didn't I get that promotion? And then you start doing the same shit that people do on Instagram and like comparing your very mundane, normal, average life to these beautiful vacations and these amazing meals people are having and these awesome parties people are going to. You're like, why not me? And the FOMO kicks in. Imagine that on LinkedIn now. I suck too professionally because everybody's getting all these promotions.
And people want to be... Like I was alive before this was a thing, right? We all were, but like people want to be influencers now. That's like considered a thing.
That's an actual job.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And to me, that's like being quarterback. Like everyone wants to be the quarterback, right? But like, I don't know how many NFL teams there are, like six or something, but like there aren't a lot of quarterbacks. Okay.
There's a lot more than that, Dave.
I don't know a lot about football either. Not everybody is going to be like, you know, you're going to post something, everybody's going to start coming to your seminars, right? Like, that's not realistic.
Yeah, I'm just interested just generally about your career ambitions, like corporate aspirations. Do you still want to climb up the corporate ladder? Do you see yourself staying more or less in the same, you know, space at least, maybe not in the same role, but in the same space or not? Or like, are you happy exactly what you're doing?
I am happy with what I'm doing. I guess from a professional standpoint, like I enjoy having an influence, whether that's on technical architecture, whether that's on the like happiness of a team, whether it's on the success of a product. So, I mean, I professionally do want to continue kind of growing my influence and my ability to impact, you know, whatever I'm working on, because I do get a lot of satisfaction out of that. And I've been reasonably successful so far. So that's, I do kind of, I'm not done. I do want to keep kind of growing, whether it's in this role or, you know, climbing the ladder or exploring new things. But yeah, I want to have an impact. I want to have an impact on the world, especially with things I've been going through lately in my personal life that kind of make me question, like, can we not do better than this, like in the medical field or in, you know, in a lot of places in life. Like there's opportunities out there and I want to have an impact. So yeah, I want to keep going. And it's not to say that you have to climb the ladder to have an impact, like as an individual contributor, like that's where you get like direct success, like that you can feel and you can go home at the end of the day and be like, I did something and it matters. But yeah, I've been successful up to this point. I want to keep seeing kind of how far I can push that.
And do you think eventually you might have to tweak the irreverence or pull back a little bit on it if you do climb that corporate ladder a little bit higher to the next rung or the next couple of rungs?
I look at my experience growing up and learning to date, like where the first time you're starting to have a relationship, like you don't even know you're doing it, but you're figuring out how much of yourself you have to change, how much of yourself you keep the same, and like where that compromise is. And you get into a relationship and you act like you're somebody else because it'll make the other person like you, right? And then you're not happy because you're fake and you've set yourself up to be in this awkward situation. And I think it's exactly the same looking for a company or, you know, coworkers or whatever, where yes, I could choose to be quieter or choose to be less annoying, or, you know, I could change my persona, but I don't think it would make me happy. It might give me more opportunities, but they wouldn't be opportunities I would ultimately want.
That's a great answer. Honestly, very thoughtful. And that's why I think this is so fascinating, because at least you're super clear. You are absolutely focused on what you want. And you know that you might not be willing to trade off being authentically you, if it just means a better title or, you know, the next promotion up the ladder at a different organization that might yeah. not accept you being so irreverent and different. You know, I think it's great.
And having that clarity, I think that is what differentiates him from a lot of people. You know, it's like, this is who I am. This is what I'm willing to tone down, and this is what I'm not. And I am a very good professional, and this is what's on the table. And I think that level of confidence is what many people struggle with when they're on these types of platforms. No?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say something, and I don't even know, and it's not to be provocative, just for the sake of it. I'm just really thinking through, though. Do you think that that's sort of a luxury you have because you're a guy? And because you work in a sector that is maybe a little bit more lenient? I'm just thinking through now, just putting myself in the situation. I'm like, wait, I wonder if I would have the same perspective and I would be willing to trade off because
take more risks.
Yeah. Or take more risks because maybe as a woman, and not to make this about gender or, you know, just strictly on my personal identity, but you know, we do as women, not everybody, but certainly in some fields, in some industries, you know, there is, you know, the glass ceiling and all the stuff we've heard about forever and ever and ever. I'm just wondering if I would be willing, like if I had a once in a lifetime opportunity for an amazing job and say the company was not as open or was not as forward thinking, but it was still an amazing job with this kick-ass salary, maybe C-level. Would I be willing to give that up so easy? I don't know. I'm just thinking through like what I would do in that situation. I don't know that I don't have an answer. I mean, I'm not in that situation, but I just think it's interesting to think about. Have you thought about any of that at all? Like in terms of who you are as a person, as a professional, you know, you're a guy who works in engineering. So maybe you do have a little bit more a leeway or something, if you want to put it that way. Does that make sense at all?
I am not just, I am a middle-aged white dude yeah. in engineering. I fully acknowledge that, like, I don't think there's anybody who's in a better position to eliminate opportunities than someone like me, right? I can go out there and I can say, okay, half of you guys, you're not interested in me because I'm obnoxious. So, you know, that's fine. I've still got this 50%. And I have nobody's discriminating against me for pretty much anything for the most part. Not everyone has that luxury. So I do think there is something to be said for like being intelligent about how much of yourself you reveal, especially online, because it is very easy for that to backfire. So why take that risk? And I think that's something that we should change or we should denormalize. I don't think it'll happen probably while I'm alive, but like everyone should be able to be themselves genuinely. And then that should play into, hey, this person isn't a match for this, but they are a match for this. That's exactly what we need. Let's get them. Right. But like I said, I mean, we're a long ways from that right now. So there is some caution people need to have and just forethought into like, well, what if, I mean, I never post anything political. I don't know. I try not to post anything political because, yeah, a lot of people will take that badly and like on one side or the other. And you can definitely hurt your image that way.
I don't see very many political posts on LinkedIn. I have seen during the last big election cycle, there was one in particular that was very in your face and the comments were, it wasn't even about the politics that this person was saying. It was just like, dude, this is not the forum for that. Go to Facebook. So it's funny how like even the platform, the people on it, you sort of self-regulate because we're not on this to hear about who you're going to vote for and all of your political leanings, whatever they may be. We're not here for that. We're all here to talk about how wonderful we are at work and celebrate each other and humble brag the shit out of everything we can. We know that's why we're here. We know that's why we're coming.
I do get people who message me or comment on my things and say, you know, save this for Facebook. This isn't LinkedIn material.
Really?
And
are they people you know?
Oh,
is
yeah.
it people just random people who follow you?
Just random people. And I delete their comments and go back to whatever I was doing.
Next. I love it. This has been such a great conversation, Dave. I love everything you're saying. And it really does just make you stop for a minute and think about the reasons why we're on LinkedIn and why we use it and why we hate it or why we love it. But now I think we're coming up to the section of the show that we like to wrap up with, which is called, go for it, Eileen.
Corporate Confessions.
I love it.
Okay, let's start with, what is the most despised corporate buzzword or jargon for you?
I don't know if it's technically a buzzword or jargon, but meeting.
Dave, really?
No. Yeah, come on. Like,
how do you hate
meeting? No. I live in a world, and it's not an Amazon thing. It's a engineering management thing where people just have this idea that, like, if you want to discuss something or make progress on a concept, you got to meet, right? There's no way you can do that without holding me hostage for like an hour while we talk about something that could have been an email.
Oh, so you're saying conceptually.
Yeah, I mean, there are very few things where a meeting couldn't just be an email or like a chat conversation. Like, you want information from me. I have it. I can type it to you. Or we can like spend an hour looking at each other's faces, right? And I mean, the same thing goes for email and chat. Like, don't send me an email asking me, like, Dave, when can we prioritize this thing? Just send me a message. Dave, what's up, man? When can we do this? Like, everything can be easier, and people are in this mindset of making everything hard.
Interesting. I wasn't expecting that one, but interesting.
I wasn't expecting that one either. And we're not going to go into the pros and cons about meetings because we will have a long discussion about it, but that's for another time. Now, I think this kind of, you just answered it because our second question was, what's your favorite or least favorite part about working in corporate? Is that meetings? Is that your answer to that question? Or is there something you detest even more?
Yeah, it is. I mean, having experience in the startup world and then having experience in the corporate world, like in the startup world, when something's wrong, it's your problem. You fix it usually by yourself or, you know, the guy who came over to your desk and is talking about, like, you just get it done, right? And Amazon has this concept of like a day one culture, which is supposed to embody that. It's take care of things, make it quick. But like, there's no way at Amazon scale or at GE scale or at Google, whatever, there's no way to completely avoid that. People just get into this mindset of like, let's just do things slowly and painfully.
In a really long meeting.
So in your career, what is the nicest thing someone has ever said to you?
Oh my God. So my boss makes me cry like once a quarter just by giving me praise and just saying like, you know, Dave, you know, if you ever need anything, you know, I'm here for you. If you're going through, you know, not if you're going through, when I'm going through hard times, like just being supportive and being like, you know, take care of the family, take care of the kids, take care of your wife. Like, and I am highly invested in my work. I was raised to just have, you know, a strong work ethic, and it's a big part of who I am. And to have my boss come to me and say like, take care of yourself, like that is literally like overwhelming for me sometimes. So just that kind of support, really.
Wow. So for bosses out there, it makes such a difference, yeah. Right? When you work for somebody who's supportive and sees you and
it really does
and values you.
Yeah.
Kudos to your boss.
But now on the flip side, what's the shittiest thing someone's ever said to you or the meanest thing someone's ever said to you?
I guess it's kind of indirect, but so I go by Big Dave, right? It's not like an ego thing. There's just too many Davids. And even today, like I'm in a meeting and they're like, we got to get this report in front of David ASAP. And suddenly I perk up and I'm like, holy crap, what am I supposed to be doing here? So you know, Big Dave, there's only one Big Dave. If someone's like, Big Dave needs to look at this, I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll look at it.
Did you start calling yourself that or did somebody call you that and then you just adopted it?
I actually was given that name three different times for three different reasons. And it works, so I stuck with it.
Oh, I mean, it's kind of a pretty badass Big Dave. It sounds like you're like this big, ginormous Harley riding, like biker guy.
Reaper. So at one point, Little Dave was a linebacker for the University of Cincinnati, and we roomed together.
Oh.
So that, you know, it's there is a little history to it. But I'll try to make this story short. I was working for one company. I get a call from another company that wants to interview me that I'm interested in, right? So, and this happened just as I finished my Chipotle burrito. So I'm like, they're like, can you come interview like right now? Which is kind of rude, but like, whatever, right? Yeah, I'm like, okay, sure. I'll take the rest of the day off and I'll go interview. So I go interview and I've got these blue tinted glasses on and my shirt like inadvertently was kind of see-through. So I'm like, I'm in this interview with like my nipples exposed and my glasses. And they're like, what do you go by? What do we call you? And I'm like, you can call me whatever you want, but like I go by Big Dave. Anyway, we do the interview and whatever. So I got the job.
It was a see-through shirt with the nipples.
It wasn't like a see-through shirt. It was just like I had to.
It was just thin material.
It was a thin material. Thank you. And I'm standing there under the lights, right? And I'm suddenly like, yeah, well, you know, this should probably have a shirt over it or something. Anyway, so I'm talking to one of the people who interviewed me, and he tells this story about when I came in for the interview. And he's like, this guy walks in, he looks like a cocky idiot, and he's like, yeah, call me Big Dave. And he says, I know that I'm never going to call this, you know, egotistical asshole Big Dave. but it's someone who I now work really closely with. I've worked with him for like 7 or 8 years now. And he's a great friend of mine, and just
who calls you Big Dave?
Yeah. So to kind of see that transition, like is
well,
really.
So cool. We can see you, Eileen, and I can see you because we're obviously doing this via Squadcast, and we can see you now. Describe yourself for our listeners because they're imagining something. If you're saying Big Dave, how would you describe yourself for our listeners?
Yeah, 5'9", 140 pounds, glasses, bald. Not the kind of guy that would be too intimidating in a dark alley.
And this has a little bit of that, but is there any like epic corporate wipeout or moment that was embarrassing or awkward that you can remember that you overcame? Can you please share?
It's kind of a private embarrassment, but it's still an embarrassment. So I get this job with Amazon, right? And they fly me up to Seattle, and you know, I grew up in a town that's like had a population of 60,000. So like I've hit it big, right? Like I am successful now, and I'm not paying for the flight, like they're paying for it, and they're putting me in a hotel, and it's not like a Holiday Inn Express, it's like a nice hotel, and there's like room service and stuff. So they fly me up to Seattle. I go up to like 20th floor or whatever where the bosses are, and my boss, my boss's boss, and my boss's boss's boss all have the same like office space. So I park myself in that room and I'm on the couch and I'm kind of doing my thing. And eventually my boss leaves, my boss's boss leave, and it's just me and my boss's boss's boss and his dog, because it's like a dog friendly building. Amazon loves dogs. Yeah, it's really cool. It's really nice. It's me and my boss's boss and his dog. And he turns to me and he's like, hey, I got a meeting. It's just half an hour. Can you keep an eye on the dog?
What kind of dog?
Just like not medium size generic dog, I think.
So was it like a Rottweiler or some like huge intimidating dog?
No, it was
regular little dog.
Yeah. But anyway, so he says, yeah, I got to go to a meeting. Can you just keep an eye on my dog? I'll be back in like half an hour or less. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Of course, and it's my boss's boss's boss, and be like, no, take care of your own damn dog. And the dog was cool too, so like, sure. So he leaves, walks out, goes to the meeting, and less than 60 seconds later, the dog gets up and takes a shit on the floor. So, and it's just me in there, so I'm now faced with a decision. Dog shit on the floor, I'm sitting in there, and so I now have this choice, right? I can either wait until my boss's boss's boss gets back and be like, hey, I've been hanging out with this dog crap, but you can clean that up now. Or I can clean up dog crap. So I cleaned up the dog crap and never told anybody.
Oh, you didn't tell the boss's boss's boss, hey, your dog took a
dog. Yeah, hey, your dog crapped all over while I was here, but I picked it up and it's in that trash can that you probably hopefully can't smell.
Dave, I'm just going to say, you made the right choice. Clearly, that's the only choice you could have done. But I would have said it because didn't that stink? I mean, like, was there no smell attached to that? I don't want to get into the weeds in this anecdote here, but
I was calculating the whole time, like I had to factor in the smell, because if he came back and the room smelled like dog crap, I was gonna have to come up with a reason for apparently at that point I would have been mishandling dog crap because I'm making the room smell like it. So I was calculating the whole time. Luckily I didn't have to go there because it was not a effervescent poop. Luckily. So
in your calculations, did you think, am I getting punked here? Is this part of like the final exam to determine any sort of weird character trait about me?
I thought about that, but it was too perfect. Like the timing of like, hey, I'll be back soon, dog craps. It was just too perfect to be to be rigged. They couldn't have done it that well if they meant to.
Did you do a selfie to send to your wife? That would have been a great LinkedIn post.
Yes, yes.
And then just to wrap up, I mean, you've shared so many little nuggets of wisdom. And this last little anecdote, I'm sure people will get a lot of learnings from it, or even a great laugh. What top surfing strategy do you want to share with us before we wrap up?
It might not be good advice.
We won't label it.
No, I think it's what I touched on earlier, where, you know, not saying that you don't have to guard yourself, but just in terms of being honest with who you are when you're looking for a match with an employer. Because I have worked for employers who were less of a match for me as a person. And, you know, I was less happy in those jobs, and I had to spend more mental effort and actual time guarding myself and protecting myself and being less happy. And when you're working for an entity or a person who accepts you as who you are, like it's so much more fun. I mean, they say find a job that you're happy in and you'll never work, or so. I don't know if that's true, but like it does make a huge difference in terms of being able to be genuine and being rewarded for who you are, not who you're pretending to be. So I encourage people, don't try to be who everyone else wants you to be. It's a great way to be mediocre, is by doing what everyone else does. Be yourself, and somebody will find that exceptional attribute that you have that they really love and want, and they'll love you for it.
I absolutely love that advice. That is so, so true.
Absolutely. I would expect nothing less from Big Dave, fitness expert / supermodel / software engineering manager / freelance health inspector.
thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you.
This has been so much fun. And expect a whole bunch of connection requests after this episode.
I'll click them.
Go and find Big Dave on LinkedIn to get a kick out of a social media use in a way that you're not used to. So thanks, Dave. It's been a blast.
Cool. Thank you both.
This episode of Surfing Corporate was produced and edited by me, Eileen Mercier, and improved dramatically by the feedback of Glenda Packenitz. By the way, we are doing a survey about this podcast to get to know you better and make it a better experience for you. It's very simple, and if you fill it out, you might be the winner of an epic swag bag with the very coveted merch of Surfing Corporate. The link to the survey is in the show notes. Remember, 2 minutes of your time will lead to lifelong happiness for me and Glenda. Our original theme song is by the amazing folks at Chaliwa Music. See you soon. Hang in there, corporate surfers.